message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
You are. Anybody like that? Okay. All right. Amen. I said amen. Amen. All right. We began a teaching series last 3 weeks. We titled it The Responsibility of What? Freedom. Say it louder. Come on, can we all cross it together in unison? The responsibility of freedom. Can we turn our Bibles to the book of Lamentations 3:27, everybody? Lamentations 3:27. Lamentations 3:27. The Bible says, and I read, can we all read together in unison? Can you check the screen? Lamentations 3:27, everybody. 3, 2, go. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Father, we honor you. We honor your word. We receive your word today with meekness of heart. And we declare that we are doers of the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture. Somebody say all scripture.
All scripture.
Say it again.
All
say it again.
All
you know, there's something about pastoring. And most pastors will agree that it's normal that when certain topics are being taught in churches, there is very much tendency that you're going to see people express their biases. It's normal. For instance, now, if we start doing a teaching on salvation, Christology, start talking about the gospel, there are people that will feel so elated, like, wow, I love that church. Stuff, man, see revelation, see depth. And there are those that feel like, Now, when we start teaching on prayer, there are those when, while we are teaching on prayer, they're already praying. Rakata, igatakakaka. See, they are for the charismatic stuff. There are those when we begin to teach on leadership, principles, godly living, they say, now this one I won't hear. So it's like that. It's normal. You're going to have several biases. But guess what? You have to eat everything on the table. That's it. It says all scripture. Now, as a ministry, you all know this is a Christocentric ministry. But guess what? I found out in my journey, little journey as a pastor. This is like my over 10 years of pastoring. Okay, of course, this is the 40th year in Kefi. And I can tell you for free, okay, that you see, the area where you seem not to pay attention to, you will suffer it. Or that you get not to have sufficient knowledge about it. For example, there are Christians who know so much of revelation of God's word, but they haven't learned how to apply it in their life on a daily basis. So we have to do, you know, what I call a pragmatic kind of teaching sometimes. We may not have to do that all the time, but we just have to do it so that you can begin to use it. You can see how God's word impacts, how it can influence every crevices of your life. God is involved not only in your salvation. So if you are here, all you want to hear in church is only Christ's salvation. Brothers and sisters, that Christ's salvation you want to hear should also influence other crevices of your life. It should affect your finances. It should affect how you relate with money. It should affect your intra and inter relationship. It's very important. That's why we do this. That's what I'm saying. You drop the bias. Drop the bias and learn. Receive God's word with meekness. We've been talking about the responsibility of freedom, and I've taken you through series of teachings, and I'm sure if this is your first day you're hearing this, I want to encourage you, go to our Telegram, CCC Global, and get it. Or after service, talk to the media. They're going to give you free. This is one of the most amazing messages you have to listen to. And I have a very big aspect of it that I'm going to reserve for our 3 days of glory. Amen. Amen. All right. Very important, because God is bringing this ministry into influence and affluence.
Amen.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
And we have to learn these things. We have to learn these things. If Daniel could serve 3 governments, he could serve 3 governments for 60 years, having integrity, displaying so much power, and at the same time expressing excellence, we can do the same. Because in this generation, I'm already giving you, you know, a foretaste of what you're going to learn in, you know, 3 days of glory. Imagine if we have a Daniel who would display power. You need power. In this world, you need to display power. They threw him into the lion's den. And what happened? The lion didn't touch him. That's power. Somebody say power. Now, this man had integrity. They told him that he should come and feed with the king's meat. He refused. Somebody say integrity. And then you got the excellence. Excellence here, I mean, do you know what it means for a Gentile king to notice your life and said, all these other people, they are impostors. That's excellence. So we need this thing. We need to take our, see, look, God, I'm not even know what our mission in this church is. What's our mission? Raising a people that will do what? That we enforce and extend the reign of God's kingdom. Where? Where? In church alone? In all of human endeavor. So this teaching is both a pragmatic teaching and a prophetic one. So open your spirit, open your heart and receive. Because amongst you here are senators, owners of industries. Praise God forevermore. Now, the word instruction in 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Now, the word instruction there is from the Greek word paideia. That means you cannot be a Christian approaching the word of God and be left indifferent. God's word is going to impact on your theology. God's word is going to impact on your modus operandi. God's word is going to impact on your personality. God's word is going to impact on how you do the things you do. God's word never leave any man indifferent. You cannot study the word of God and say, well, this is how me I'm seeing it. What did you see? Well, that one said, this is how me I see it. No, there's only one way. So God's word is not going to leave you in delusion. God's word is going to give you a mold that you must conform to. God's word is going to give you a pattern to follow. God is going to give you, a form to imitate. Glory to God forevermore. And so I've been telling you, about the responsibility of freedom. I said, when you got born again, all right, you were saved. The yoke of sin was taken up from you. Not so that you can go free-ranging, but so that you can take the yoke of Jesus. He says, take my yoke, for my yoke is light. And I've given you examples. I've read statistics to you. Please get it. If I don't want to go back there again. How that, you see, the price you pay for freedom is responsibility. So, as a child of God, you have to be responsible. You have to be responsible. And if you read the Bible from back to back, you're going to see responsibility all over. Not necessarily verbatim, but in the storylines, in the explanations, in the teachings recorded in Scripture, you're going to see responsibility everywhere. I'll give you an instance. Let's take a cue from Israelites. When they were in the wilderness, God gave them water from the rock. See, you're going to see something consistent. God, when you get born again, see, there's something that is constant in Scripture. God's desire is to move his relationship with you from commensalism, all right, to mutualism. Forgive me, I'm using this word. Only microbiology students or biology students will know what I'm talking about. Now, commensalism is a kind of relationship where one party is the one enjoying everything. The other party is the one doing everything. He's not gaining anything from the other party. Is not affected by the other party, either negatively or positively. It's called commensalism. But God wants to move you from commensal relationship to mutual relationship, where God is also reaping his investment in you. God has invested his spirit in you. I told you, I said, no Christian should be poor spiritually and financially. Some don't like to hear it. It's the truth. Because he has invested his own spirit. That's the biggest thing he can ever give. So you don't have a reason not to be fruitful in ministry, in reaching out to souls, in healing the sick, in working miracles, in evangelizing. You don't have any excuse because his spirit is in you. The same spirit that rose Jesus from death is in you. Then secondly, he has imbued into you some natural abilities. You just have to discover it, refine it, and use it. bless humanity with it, offer value. And naturally, systems in the world has been organized in such a way that there will be people who will respond back to that value with monetary equivalent of it, and you use that monetary equivalent given to you to do what? To take care of yourself. There are some of you, you know, there's a lady in this church, I don't know if she's around. Okay, she's not around. All right, she came to me, Pastor, I want to start doing pap and akara. I said, okay, let me first be your first customer. So I gave her a few money, do me pap. So she did me pap, put it in the, this thing. When I saw it, I'm like, geez. And this one I'm seeing, she's studying one course now. After degree now, he'll be wearing khaki up and down, he's looking for a job. I said, see pap. Are you listening to me? Yes, sir. CPAP. So whether you like it or not, there are some things that you can naturally do that is meant to offer you and to give you a living or for you to earn a living. Praise God forevermore. So he has put so much investment in you. Quit the commensalism relationship. Quit it. Move to that relationship where it's going to be mutual. Where you're going to be youthful yet useful. So in the wilderness, in Exodus 17, in the wilderness, you're going to see, because I told you that the price you pay for freedom is what? Responsibility. In the wilderness, when they were in the wilderness, what did God do? God gave them water from the rock. Look at it. Exodus 17 verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Verse 6, behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So in the wilderness, I told you example last 2 weeks when I was quoting, you know, Harvard Political Review to you from the Bureau of Prison from the United States, how that some 7% of inmates, after they've been freed from prison, find themselves back in the prison. It is called recidivism. And the Ministry of Justice, of course, there are prisons, Bureau of Prisons and Prisons is under Ministry of Justice in the U.S. I don't know why Nigeria is under Interior. I don't know the correlation. Anyway, it's under Ministry of Justice. So the Ministry of Justice published how that 2 out of every 3 inmates, after being freed from prison, in 3 years, find themselves back to prisons. Why? I'll tell you. Because when they were in prison, everything was paid for. The United States government gives them food, shelter, clothes. They watch cable, TV, everything in the prison. You know, there are different kinds of prisons. They have maximum prison. They have local jails, jail cells. They have the incarcerators and all of that. But, I mean, over 1.6 million people are being freed annually in the United States. And over 600,000 people are being recaptured back into the prison every year. So they are wondering why. It's because now they are out of prison, they refuse to take responsibility. And I told you the things to do last 3 weeks. I said the first thing to do is recalibrate your moral compass from duty to delight. Some of you, when you were with your parents, they lock you at home, they don't let you go out when it is 8 p.m., they tell you to do this, to do that. Those instructions is for your good. Now you are in school, you are no longer under the quote-unquote slavery of your parents now. It is now your responsibility to transfer that moral compass that you consider dutiful to delight. Begin to put your own personal principle. So now you're not going to live by external dictate, but by inward principles. And that's what God did at salvation. He stopped giving us laws. He stopped giving us regulation. He decided to give us the regulator himself, the Holy Spirit. So he says, in that day, I'll take away the stony heart. I will put my heart of flesh in you, and I will cause you to walk in my statue. So now he removed the external law of memorizing the law of Moses. He says, I will write this law right now. Where? In the tablet of your heart. Can you see that? So now, that is the problem. They were in the wilderness, they got free water. But guess what? When they got into the promised land, look at what God did. In the promised land, they had to dig their own well. In the land of freedom, they were to dig their own well. So God gave them water in the wilderness, but in the promised land, there is water in the ground. They just have to dig it to get it. That's it. Glory to God forevermore. These are teachings in symbolisms. Number two, in the wilderness, they had free manna from heaven. Free meat. They had free manna from heaven. Free meat. Quails were supplied to them miraculously. They even changed menu. One time they said they were tired of manna. They got quails. Come on now. I mean, Exodus 16 verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at evening ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. God gave them bread and meat. Of course, they called the bread later manna. That means, what is this? Ungrateful people. They don't want to call it manna. Now, manna means, what is this? That's the meaning of manna. What is this? But God called it bread. Because that bread, theologians told us that it was a balanced food, balanced diet. Some translation calls it wafer. Not this wafer biscuit, that has sugar. Amen. Can you see that? But guess what? In the promised land, what happened? They were to sow their own wheat. They sowed their own wheat. They reared their own cattle. So God multiplied their cattle and gave them a supernatural irrigation system to ensure great harvest. Do you know what God will do? What God will do is now he will create an environment conducive for you to discover, develop, and nurture those investments he has put in you. And one of the most powerful investments God has made put in you is spiritual investment. And the most powerful environment he has created for you to recognize and join yourself in to maximize that investment is the local assembly, the church. That's why you don't go to church by sentiment. You don't go to church by proximity. You go to church because you know that in that church, they will help you find, follow, and fulfill God's plan for your life. The choice of church is as important as the choice of food that you eat. Because what you do basically in church is you are fed God's word. Your spirit is fed. Very important. Can you see that? So in the promised land, they have to sow their own wheat. I mean, look at what God did. God, you know, instead of them to be doing natural irrigation, God made an environment so conducive for them. Look at it. Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Deuteronomy chapter number 11 and verse 10. God was educating them about the promised land. And look at what he says. Don't forget, he gave them quails and bread in the wilderness. But now in the promised land, look at what he did. He says, for the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out. That means this is not like the place of bondage where you came out. Verse 11. What do they do? But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. Can you see that? That means it's not going to be natural irrigation. This one has supernatural irrigation. That means your ground, your land is going to be well watered. If you sow anything, it will grow. Your grasses will grow well. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. And it's going to be from the beginning of the year, even to the end of the year. That means we're going to have all-round year productivity. Isn't that amazing? So one of the things you notice is that God moves from working for them into working with them. So that is responsibility. That's the price you pay for freedom. Some of you are still at home. Nah, don't worry. When you are after, by the time you're done with school, you experience the first freedom when you go for NYSC. Especially if you were the firstborn, you're going to know what it means to be in NYSC. Anyway, if you're following online, NYSC is National Youth Service Corps. It's a program system in Nigeria where you have to serve the government for 1 year. I'm sure they do that in the United States as well, join the military and all of that. Okay? That's when you start having your younger ones calling you, Uncle, let me send my account number. You know, there was one copper. She's done with her youth service now. She was telling me, she said, Pastor, I don't understand. I just came, all my younger ones are sending me account number. I said, you don't know, you are not a responsible girl. Praise God forevermore. I said, praise God forevermore. And some of you don't have to finish graduating before you start becoming responsible. If you are in school and you are doing one thing or the other that is giving you little money, be responsible. Send airtime home. Even if it is 500 naira airtime, send it. You are in school, you are doing makeup, you have makeup kit, and you have never, every time it's gimme, because my name is Jimmy. Don't say they don't need it now. I fell into that sin too before. In school, I felt they don't need it now. If your parent is rich here, you are likely to fall into that sin because you feel your parents don't need your money. But of course, they don't need your money, but guess what? It's a principle in the kingdom. Honor your father and your mother. You have to honor them. When I mean honor, it's not the kind of honor you give me, and I hope you will change. Now when you say, Pastor, God bless you. You bless me today. You shake me. That's not honor. Honor is give something. I mean talk am. By the way, not be me even talk am. Now Bible talk am. So I'm not forced the musician, okay? Praise God forevermore. Now Bible talk am. First, Bible said it. Someone say, that's in the law. Well, guess what? Apostle Paul quoted the law in the book of Ephesians 6. It says, honor your father. Even though he says, this is the first commandment with what? With a promise. With a promise. Every month, I send little things at home, even if it's money for airtime. Don't say, I don't have much now. That's why, if I have much now. That's what some people have been doing. They've never given tithes. They don't give offering. They say, Pastor, don't worry. When I'm rich, mama. I say, which kind of mama? You have 5K, you never give 500. Is it when you have 5 million, you give 500,000? It doesn't work. The Bible says, he that is faithful in little. It didn't say shall be faithful in much. Mm-mm. Read your Bible. It didn't say shall. Read it again. Don't rush read your Bible. It says, he that is faithful in little is faithful in much. Is. In other words, there is a system of things that gives us the... We can forecast your future from your presence. Are you following? When we talk about weather forecast, what do you think they do in forecast? Let me ask you. Because I did some courses in meteorology. What do you think they do in forecast? Forecast simply means they are going to accumulate all the data of the meteorological experiences over the years and the present. Then they use some systems of calculation to do. Majorly, it's about mean. It's just mean, average. They now used to forecast, okay, let me give you an instance. Let's say 3 days ago, we had, the temperature was, let's say, 35. Yesterday, 36. Day before yesterday, 35. Yesterday, 36. Today, 37. Tomorrow, they will tell you the forecast for tomorrow might be 35 plus 36 plus 37 all over 3. Do you understand? That's called forecast. So we can forecast your future from now. I know some people in this church. If they get 1 billion naira now, you won't see them again. Praise God forevermore. Be responsible. Say, I am responsible. Number three, in the wilderness, God miraculously ensured that their dress does not get old and that as they grow, the dress grew up with them. What a miracle. When they were in the wilderness, can you imagine? See, it's a miracle for you to say you have plenty clothes. But it's a bigger miracle that as you are growing, the cloth is growing with you. And the cloth never went old, never got torn. That was a greater miracle. Look at it. And there was a reason, because in the wilderness, there was no way they could get their own cloth. Look at it. Let me show it to you. In the book of Nehemiah 9, open to Nehemiah 9. Nehemiah 9 and verse 20. The Bible says, thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. We have read that one, right? Let's go to verse 21. Yeah, somebody say 40 years. 40 years. Say it louder. 40 years. I did not hear you. 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lack nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. Can you imagine wearing one shoe for 40 years, and the shoe no chop? And as you are growing, the shoe is growing with your leg. For 40 years. That was what God did. It's a miracle. And their clothes did not grow old, because they were in the wilderness. So God was working for them. But when they got to the promised land, God had to walk with them. I told you, it's a movement from commensalism to what? Mutualism. Check it again, Deuteronomy 29 verse 5. Deuteronomy 29 verse 5. The Bible says, and I have led you 40 years. I have led you 40 years. Where? In the wilderness. Look at it. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you. Do you understand what that means? And thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot. How many of you, you know how many shoes we've changed even this year? But for 40 years? What a miracle. But when they got to the promised land, they have to sew their own clothes. Oh. Their clothes wax old. Oh. Because now God wants to walk with them. In the promised land, they sew their own clothes. Can we all read it together? 3, 2, go. In the promised land, they sew their own clothes. They grew cotton and got wool from animals to make their own dresses. To make their own dresses. Praise God forevermore. I used to have a friend when I was in university. I've told you about her before several times. I like her. I've told you about her, right? When we were in year two, 200 level, she stopped collecting money from home. She was into this makeup thing. That's what, you know why I couldn't marry her now? Because I'm not against makeup, but her own kind of makeup is a type that she wants to live on it. And how are you going to feel when, and not only makeup, she's planning to do modeling as well. She'll be on front magazine. Imagine you are buying magazine now, and then you see my wife there do like this. That's our mama. Praise God forevermore. That will never work. Praise God forevermore. She's a good Christian, prays in tongues, does evangelism. I later found out, you know, I was amazed when I later found out that her dad actually has a jet. But when she got to, no, I needed to tell you that so that you can know. At 200 level, she stopped collecting money from home. Because I realized that when we're in university, if any major artist or any major musician is invited to university, if they are going to count like 5 to 10 makeup artists that they will call to come and make those artists up, she'll be one of them. She's good exceptionally. Someone say responsibility. I remember the last time I said that, she was like, I don't like, that's the way she talk. I can mimic her. That's how you know I like her. All right, she said, that's my dad calling me. I don't know. He wants to give me money again. And I'm like, I am busy calling my pops. He's telling me, pay yeah. That means call your mom. Call your mom. You know, say, yeah, I'm salary. If you call my dad, say, ah, salary. When call your mom. And here is somebody saying, that's my dad calling again. I don't want his money. I'm like, praise God forevermore. Now, it looks strange to some of you, but that's how it ought to be. Be responsible. Someone say, ha. It's like, Kikuma kill me. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah forevermore. Number 4. In the wilderness, God provided a sensual appeal for their devotion. So he demonstrated his presence to them by giving them the pillar of cloud by the day and fire by night. So his presence had to be felt. They saw fire. God is with us. God is with us. Then in the afternoon, they see cool cloud following them, supernatural AC. And they feel like, God's presence is here. Hallelujah. That was in the wilderness. I said, that was where? In the wilderness. So some of you, when you got born again, you used to have that jittery feeling. That's, you get rhapsodized in some kind of emotionalism. But now, then you used to dance. Come and see what the Lord has done for me. Hey, he has given you. You dance. You shake the thing. You know what I'm talking about? You just go like that. But now, they say, lift your hands, everybody. Shake it. You're like. Listen. You have passed that stage. God wants you to start instigating your own worship. He wants you to start worshiping him, not in emotional, sensual appeal anymore, but in knowledge. So there are Christians who go for several meetings and they say, today, you see them, they post it on Facebook. Prophet XYZ is slain all of us today. We're all slain, Rabasha. When he blew the shofar, everybody was just Rabasha. My question is, by the grace of God, we are believing God for cameras soon now, right? That camera is 1.4M. We have deposited 500K. We are still believing God. When we buy that camera, if you fall down near that place. Anyways, we're going to put bodyguard there. Because I'm confessing for that camera every day. I told you, I have to put 500K of my money. I have to put it there. Now I'm so, you see the way I'm sweating. I'm so blessed. Toba Shubukbede, if you fall down near that. Am I against falling down? No. Just make sure you fall down very well. Praise God forevermore. So there are people like that. They're just looking for that. But hey, grow up. Whether you feel it or you don't feel it, pray. Don't say, I didn't feel like. Don't forget about feeling. When you first got born again, when you first spoke in other tongues, the thing was tingling you. You always woke up. It was spontaneous. Hey, you're growing up now. It make no difference whether or not you feel it. Pray anyway. Now you're praying in knowledge. They say it's time to dance. You are trying to form posh because you wore Brazilian hair. What in the world? What? Oh, you don't want your makeup to be messed up? Can God mess your makeup up?
No.
Because if he messes up your makeup, he's making you over better.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So you barrage in the presence of God. Whether the song is looking, it doesn't matter how sonorous the musician, anyway, in this church, we have good music. Amen. Praise God forevermore. So he wants you to move, all right? So in the promised land, look at it. In the promised land, I intentionally did PowerPoint for this thing because I want you to be involved. By the grace of God, next week, the other screen will be okay. Can I have a big amen to that?
Amen.
It's a prayer, it's confession. It's not as if there's already a plan for it. I'm talking by faith. All right? And some of you, sometimes when we talk by faith, why it has not happened is because some of you have refused to make it happen. It's true. There are some of you here now, you have some good money somewhere. Use it for the gospel. Put your money where your mouth is. All right, so in the promised land, what did God do? Come on, what did God do? God demand that you live by what? Conduct your devotional life independent of presence or absence of what? Feelings. I don't feel like God heard me when I pray. Shut up. The Bible says if you pray in his name, he heareth you. God's word over your feelings.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Number 5, in the wilderness, the leader does everything. Does everything. But guess what? In the kingdom, in the promised land, the leader delegates responsibility. So there is an investment God has put in you. And a divine assignment God has put in you. God is leading me to teach on divine assignment today. So I will just do a few preamble then. In second service, I will go deeper. I have just 5-10 more minutes to finish up. I'll go deeper in second service. Now, let me just wrap it up quickly. Now, when we talk about purpose, let me tell you, you can read 101. Look at me, brother. Look up. This person you are seeing so has read books. You can read as many books as possible on purpose and be more confused. I'm not there. I've read many books on purpose and you are more confused. Let me tell you, it's not hard. Nobody has a unique purpose. We all have one purpose. Let me tell you, Phone has one purpose. Communication, true?
Yes,
all human beings on earth has one purpose. Because the Creator created them for one purpose. And what is that purpose? That they will be adopted into sonship. That is his purpose for all mankind. So if you are born again, you are in purpose already. That they will be adopted. Ephesians 1 verse 5. The Bible says, having predestinated us. Can you say that? Having predestined us to adoption as sons. Adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his goodwill. So his predestination for all mankind is that they should be adopted. The word adopted here is not the normal use of adoption we use today. You know, when they say you adopt a child, that means that child is not your own. No. Adoption there means placement into sonship by giving us his spirit through the gospel. That's God's eternal predestination for every mankind. You become a member of the body of Christ. Now, when you now become a member, there is now a specific, mind my English, a specific assignment for you in that body to help the body carry out its goal, which again is to what? To bring more men into the kingdom. Do you understand? This is purpose defined. Very simple stuff. The purpose of God for mankind is that all is going to be adopted into sonship. So you and I, Ephesians 1:5, that was his predestination for all mankind. Now when you become a part of the body of Christ, you now have a specific assignment in the body to help the body fulfill its corporate purpose of bringing how many people? More people into the kingdom again. That's purpose defined. In simple terms, you can read the only one books on purpose and be confused. It's very simple. So purpose is one for all, but everybody, but assignment in the body is what makes us different. So the eye is different from the nose. Come on now.
Yes, sir.
But it's still in the same body. So having become a member of the body, you now have a specific assignment to help the body further its job description. We have a job description. We have a JD. Our JD is to seek and save the lost. So we get people saved outside the world, bring them to church, invite them to church, establish them through foundation school, get them rooted, make them disciples. They too also will do what? They will reach out to people. That's how the kingdom gets edified, gets enlarged. That's the purpose we all have. The hero in evangelism himself, Baba Funye, he has gone to be with the Lord. I'm talking of Renan Bonnke, makes a statement. He says, a church that doesn't seek the lost is already lost himself. I go for evangelism every Saturday. What will I be doing? Hallelujah. So in Matthew 28, verse 19, when Jesus says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Lord, of the Father, that is the Son, that is the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is the summary. He says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, make students of all nations. The word nation there is from the Greek word ethnos. Somebody say ethnos. Say it again. That's where they get the English word ethnicity. It means a people bound together by a common descriptive parameter. So you can have a nation of Urobos, a nation of Polish, a nation of Tennessees, a nation of doctors, a nation of students, a nation of engineers, a nation of farmers. Come on, talk to me now. So in all of those human endeavor, each of them is a nation. So he sent you an idea to make disciples of people in those nations. So you can be a doctor and you are taking the gospel to your fellow doctors. You can be an engineer. You are going to recruit army for the Lord amongst engineers. You are a student. You're going to reach, and you know, there's a lady, I don't know, she has dropped on me because the work has increased. Those days when she first came, that's what I'm saying. In her 100 level, she would chat to me, Pastor, I'm coming with 7 of my friends. And that's why you say, Pastor, I don't know, only five came, but the rest two, they will come next week. But when she enters 200 level now, I don't know. She's looking at me, she's here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't let your tempo drop. I understand, you know, that they're not going for lectures on Saturday. Fine. But create time, anyways. You can look for a friend and join hands and say, okay, you know what? It may not be Saturday, it could be Thursday, it could be Wednesday, but make sure you're reaching out to a soul. Very important. And that's why in this church, our vision in this church is to save the unsaved, church the unchurched, and do what? And equip the saints for purposeful living. What's our mission? To raise a people that what? Extend the reign of God's kingdom. In how many of human endeavor? Write this down, then we close. This is prophetic. So that you know where you belong. It is believed that there are seven, quote and unquote, mountain of influence. And we are taking all those places for Jesus, because it says going to how many nations? How many nations? That means all place of human endeavor. Number one, religion. Somebody say religion. We're going to influence the religious space with sound teachings, with theology that is sound, proper Christology, proper soteriology, proper charismatic theology, proper ecclesiology. Anyways, if you've not done School of Ministry, start planning for it. Next year, it will be out. Amen. Proper. We're going to influence that world. It's a nation on its own. It's a place of influence. Number two, businesses. Businesses. I would love to have business moguls in this country from my church. Can I break amen to that?
Amen.
Dr. Yonkicho, before he passed on Glory a few weeks ago, it is said that when Dr. Yonkicho is going to nations, in his church there are billionaires, business moguls, who will say, don't worry, we are going to take care of this. I want to come up one day and say, church, I'm going to Uganda for a crusade. We trust God to reach out to 10 million people there. And after service, church secretary comes to me and says, Pastor, we saw some pledges in the accounts running to about $1 billion. Yeah. Somebody's like, this pastor saved now. Wow. My dream is big.
Yes,
Somebody say businesses. Say it again. Some of you, I prophesy, your business, Cambro Kotelia Takas, Kilimando Kosha, global influence.
Amen.
People will buy online from you.
Amen.
Are you hearing me?
Yes,
from all over the world, your business will grow.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Family and friends. Family and friends, that's the next sphere of influence. Family and friends. Number four, education. Of course, family and friends, you know what I'm talking about. Families is a place of influence as well. Education. Can't you see the way the church is changing the atmosphere of education in Nigeria? Statistics shows that 23% of universities in Nigeria are owned by faith. It's a faith-based university. And our universities, the only Nigerian university that is ranking among the best 100 in the world is a private university owned by the church. I like that. Praise God forevermore. We are raising the bar. I say we are raising the bar. It's not one professor who will not come to class. They will call him. He will say, let's cancel the class. Praise God forevermore. One of our ministers is here. Okay. She's doing something very important in her life today. I won't mention her name. That's why she traveled. When she first came to this school, when we started this church, 2017, when I saw her. Then 2018, I called her, come. What course are you studying? I'm studying biochemistry. Since I have knowledge of biochemistry in university, I asked her some questions, and she was looking at me. Say, they've not taught us. I say, if by next week, if you don't go and collect change of course, quick now. She went to change it. I think she finished with psychology now. Abby, is it psychology? She finished one? Yeah, psychology. I said, this school, don't go. They say, one time again, she's saying they are looking for accreditation that NUC is coming. They say they don't have the. I say, what are you doing, Balken? You don't know Jack. Get out from that place. Praise God forevermore. Substandard education, but we are raising the bar. Amen. We are redefining the standard. Amen. We are changing the norm. Amen. I say we are changing the norm. Amen. Quality education. We are taking that mountain. The next one, heart and entertainment. Oh boy. Heart and entertainment. Look at Tyler Perry. Look at what the guy has done to America and the white black people entirely. I'm not even Tyler Perry. I've watched all his movie up to 2012. There is no movie of his that I don't watch up to 2012. Because that's the only movie I do see. And that's when I used to fall in love with some imaginary girls that now I will never meet. Sanan Lantan. Gabriel Union. Start crushing the people that are in their 40s. Anyways, I used to like his family drama. Amen. And then the haves and the haves not. Oh, I watched that series there. The one I did not really have time to watch because I already pastoring is Sisters. I don't know if you watch Sisters. Okay. Look at what the guy did in media industry. In art and entertainment. Some of you here, you want to start doing pageantry. How about going to secondary school? Think, pray. How about going to secondary school? Start pageantry among them. Not bikini pageant, though. Not the one that they'll be wearing something that will be showing like this. Real pageantry. And then train them, you know, start a spelling bee among them. Train them. Teach them poise. And from there, you begin to teach them from the book of Esther how to hold value. Are you listening to what I'm saying? If you are doing makeup, you are doing model. You are not doing model with your four buttons out. No. There are good models. You can model godliness. Yes, sir. We don't have to see your nipple outside. Yes, are you listening to me? Yes, heart and entertainment. The next one, media. Oh, boy. I just told you about Tyler Perry. Then, of course, this one, I like this last one. Hey, because in this house, we go get senators. So. Yeah. God, tell me that one. No be say I dey talk am. I've been saying it since 2017, right? Yes. God tell me that one for this church. No be say one yeri man go come enter House of Representatives. They say they won't push 9 years old picking the marry. I don't know if you remember last 2 years. Yes, forbid batting. And you know it's democracy, government of the people by the people for the people. So it's a government of popular opinion. So if you have insane people in the government, they will legislate insane laws. Because it is majority carry the vote. So if you are shying away from politics, from national issues, now we go suffer. Now we. I say now we. So we have to be involved. Be involved. Stop saying politics is dirty. It's a lie. It's not dirty. Listen to me. Oh, if God is with you. You heard about Daniel. Didn't you see him? He was in government for 3 regimes. 60 years. He displayed integrity, power, and excellence. When they say he should not pray again, he went to open the door and began to pray. They took him and put him inside the lion's den. He came out unscathed. Somebody say power. Power. Enough of Christians just showing power in church alone. Say you are working in a place and you are saying, they say they are using juju to remove people from this position in the office. What are you talking about? Your own juju passed their juju. Yes. Not be so. Praise God forevermore. Oh, say I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Were you blessed?
Yes, sir.
Were you blessed by the message?
Yes, sir.
Were you blessed?
Yes, sir.
It's 9:30, so I have to stop. I have someone, but I have to stop. Were you blessed?
Yes, sir.
Lift your hands towards heaven. Say I'm blessed.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 0785 66. We celebrate you.